Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show today. So delighted to have you here with us. We have got a great show for you today. I am trying to contain my excitement, but I am absolutely honored beyond measure to have our guest today. Today, I've got Jen Lehner with us, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with her work, but after this podcast, you are going to be looking her up. I want to tell you a little bit about Jen. And I love her about page on her website. I'm going to send you over to her website. It's just delightful, but she's always been up for a great adventure. And that's the beginning of how fantastic she is. She left North Carolina at the age of six and never minded moving around a lot as a child because she always loved change. What a great gift to have. And as an adult, her life has continued to be an adventure, living in a number of different places, including Charleston, Seattle, Toronto, Myrtle Beach, Mississippi, and Cleveland. And that's all before her oldest son was 9 years old. But during each of these transitions, Jen used technology to make the most of everything, from the actual move to finding community resources and even arranging play dates for her kids. She often found herself in the role of communications person, building websites, coordinating email campaigns, designing and branding social media and marketing strategies. So technology allowed her to put down an anchor no matter where she was. But when Jen's youngest child started kindergarten, she started using her digital skills combined with her marketing skills from her years of working in nonprofits and fundraising to start the Posner Lehner Group, LLC, a marketing agency. This decision has allowed Jen the opportunity to work with amazing clients, large and small, as a partner and trusted advisor in helping them to solve their marketing challenges. Word, of course, spread very quickly, and she was soon at capacity, so she decided to launch JenLehner.com. Write that down. This shift enabled Jen to help more clients by offering group training courses online and a limited number of one-on-one coaching sessions via Skype. She loves being able to break things down for people in a way that is simple to understand, with the goal to help you achieve your goal as quickly and as simply as possible. Jen, welcome to the show.
Wow. I haven't heard that bio read out loud. And it's been a while since I've seen it. So yeah, thanks for that. That was
quite generous. See why I'm excited? See how amazing you are?
Thank you.
Well, and I know Jen she has a great Facebook group called The Front Row. And that is where I know Jen from. Of course, I'm familiar with her work, and that's where I know her from. But I want to just tell you something that is one of my favorite qualities about Jen. If you've listened to any of my podcasts, you know that technology is my greatest albatross. It is my greatest source of frustration. If I could wave a wand and become anyone, it would be someone who could get past 8-track players and embrace technology. And we all know that. And Jen is a master of that. But I tell you what I love the most about her is her authenticity, real deal, just what you see is what you get. And that's what I love about you, Jen. So
thank you.
Let's talk a little bit more specifically about what you do. Tell the listeners what it is you do.
I am a digital marketing strategist. So basically, I help people learn to use social media and digital tools to make money.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that part in the bio about how you break it down. That's one of the things that I love so much for you. You know, course after course, person after person, they roll it out. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Back to one. You know, you have that ability to break it down. Now, when clients come to you, what are their biggest problems? They're like me and they just don't have a clue? Or what is the array of things people come with?
It's not that people don't have a clue. It's they don't really know how capable they are and that how simple it really can be because they're overwhelmed. They're not sure which platform is right for them. And they just don't think they're techie enough. And so what is what I really love doing is breaking it down. As you said, I love to break it down. And I think when people have those first few small successes, then the confidence builds. And then, you know, they're off and running. Because the truth is not a computer literacy, but a computational way of thinking that actually translates from platform to platform, from tool to tool. For example, you know, the little cogwheel that is everywhere. We probably have it right here on Blab, but it's just that little wheel. It's everywhere. It's on every tool, every kind of digital tool and platform. And that's usually where the answers are. So once you learn to click on the cogwheel, you kind of know where to go when you're lost. You know, it's like I call it finding your North Star. Like in every platform, I always start there. Like, okay, people, this is where we are. This is what you need to look for if you get lost. Like, let's just sort of acclimate to our surroundings. But that would be the biggest problem that people come to me with, is just a sense of overwhelm because there's so much coming at us. It, you know, things are changing faster than we can even, you know, keep up with. But the truth is, once you harness that, just like the basics of this computational thinking, it will take you through any new platform. Because really the basic framework stays the same across all channels.
Good. Do you think people try to take on too much at once and that's what causes the overwhelm? They feel they need to do it all?
Well, it's sort of like once you take that first brave step to go digital and like to immerse yourself into this world, Blab and Periscope and Facebook groups and all that, then you are being hit. You are being bombarded every single day with someone saying, I just made $10,000 today because I did this little thing. Or you got to go check out this new membership site. It's so cool. And, you know, and don't forget to check out IFTT because it'll automate everything. And hey, it's free. And yeah, so you're just like, okay, I got to do this. I got to do that. And then pretty soon people will start checking off the things on that list. And a year will go by and you'll feel like you kind of got it down. You got your Facebook business page, you got your Twitter going. And then you look and you're like, why am I doing this again? And that's sort of the thing. So it's like too much coming at us, not having a feeling of mastering any of them. And then in the end, sort of going, okay, why am I doing this again? And that's, you know, I always just try to pull people back. And it's, and my message is always, you know, let's master one or two platforms, you know, put your head down, just keep your head down on your own paper. Really, you know, after you've outlined your objectives, you know, if you say, okay, look, I'm going to build an audience on Twitter. I'm going to find who my audience is. I'm going to decide what I should share there. You know, then let, you know, don't get distracted from that goal because it will work. You know, you have to trust that whatever platform you're going to invest in, trust me, it'll work. There's plenty of people who have built very lucrative businesses and careers on one channel, just one, like on just Instagram. But they focused really, you know, really, they really focused and concentrated their efforts there. And then it paid off. But if you're like spread yourself so thinly, like in anything in life, you know, and you just don't really focus, then you're not going to see the results. Then a year is going to go by. And I speak from experience, by the way, a year is going to go by and you're going to be like, okay, let me just like, what am I doing? So it's that it's just being pulled in all directions, feeling like you have to be everywhere and you really don't.
I love that so much. And that makes me feel so much better about myself, I have to tell you. Good. And I try to, you know, not fall into that. It's almost like that bright, shiny object syndrome. And I love that you brought up the every guest keeps bringing up this. Well, they're commenting, I just made $4 million in the last 7 minutes. What are you doing? What's wrong with you? Right. And so you scramble over to see what they're doing. And I hear so much talk about that right now. So there's definitely an awareness. People are very aware of, wait a minute, I don't necessarily have to do that.
And also we have to keep in mind that like there's a couple of things going on there. Number one is if you are in the business of coaching or teaching or selling information products, then part of your marketing message has to be that, hey, I've achieved this by doing this. So it's a bit of a marketing message. It's not that it's not true when people do this, but when they go in, when we go into Facebook groups and we tout our successes, then, you know, that's marketing, man. Like that's kind of what we got to do sort of, but you have to take it all. You have to ask yourself the questions like, okay, you know, that person just told me they had a $10,000 a week, you know, like, what does that really mean? You know? So they might've worked all year to get to that $10,000 a week. And then how much did they spend on the Facebook ads? And, you know, what else is involved in that? And again, it's not that it's not true, but there's usually a story of a really tough journey, even if it is just pure $10,000. Maybe they're making $10,000 every week and that's great, but there is always a story. In any way, it doesn't matter. It's, you know, take the best and leave the rest. You know, take what you need, and but it, as it applies to your current goal and your objectives, and like get rid of all the rest.
Yeah, and I love that, and that's so much. You know, I coach actors. About a third of my business is actors, and we think of the overnight success. We don't see when they were living in their car,
right?
And they couldn't get it. They couldn't get an audition to save their lives. I kind of look at this at the same way. There is always a backstory. Yep. You know, the hours and hours and the blood, sweat and tears. So you really have to be, you know, to pick that platform, that one or two platform, you pick that based on your ideal audience, not because that's necessarily what's trending.
Well, and also you pick it based on what you enjoy, what's easy for you, what feels comfortable. Because if you really just hate it, there's just no amount of, You're just not going to be successful there. So you have to really like it a lot.
I love that because I hear so many, you know, I coach a lot of people on video. And so many people do not want to get on video. And we're going to talk about the power of video in just a minute. But I really love that. So you really kind of need a strategy too, it sounds like. You know, you've got to have a Twitter strategy or a Periscope strategy or whatever kind of strategy.
Yep. It's all about the strategy.
And you help people discover that, build that strategy as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think what I enjoy is piecing things together. So typically, the strategies that I share with my audience, are things that are, maybe not what you would see, in like a Facebook for Dummies book or, you know, or just around, I do a lot of like cross pollination, I guess. Like I use LinkedIn, for example. I'll use like a LinkedIn. Here's a good example. So of the type of strategies I like to teach. I had a client who had a video that went truly viral. It got picked up by Upworthy. And so it got several million views. And I haven't checked lately, but it was up to 3 million, you know, I don't know how many shares and comments, but it went truly viral. And she felt like it was the perfect kind of video to be on Ellen. And she wanted to get it on the Ellen show. Well, if you're familiar with Ellen, Ellen has has created EllenTube, which is a portal for people to upload videos. Cause I can imagine they just get completely bombarded with content all day long. So I think, you know, that was a really smart move on the Ellen show's part. But I would also imagine that getting something actually viewed on the Ellen show, I mean, for the Ellen show by the Ellen staff is really like not easy. So what we did was I went over to LinkedIn's advanced search, and there's a way to type in like a person's name, their title. So we typed not a person's name, sorry, they're a title. So I just typed in producer and then I typed in Ellen show and then current, meaning they're currently a producer at the Ellen show. And immediately when I clicked search, the results showed like 5 or 6 pages of every level of producer at the Ellen show. So then I'm not going to send them an inbox on LinkedIn because nobody reads their inboxes. You have to pay actually now a significant amount of money to be able to send people inbox messages on LinkedIn beyond like 15 a month. And I just don't like inboxing. So then what we did was we went and found the producers' Twitter handles to see if they had Twitter handles, and then sent them the video directly through Twitter. But here's the thing. So Twitter only allows you to do 30-second videos. But if you go into the Twitter Ads Manager, if you go into the Twitter, if you go into Twitter's Ad Manager, you can send a video, a tweet that is up to 10 minutes long, and you get to add a whole bunch of other bells and whistles to that tweet that you can't do with a regular tweet, and you can do it for free. So, so this is sort of like an around the way, very, very unique way of differentiating yourself and your content that nobody else is really using or doing. It's just a great feature inside of Twitter. So, I don't have results from that yet. We just recently did that, but it's, you know, it's just a cool strategy.
Now I've seen you in a lot of, I see you on a lot of platforms. I see you on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, and I've learned a tremendous amount about LinkedIn and Twitter from you. Would you say your love, your greatest love might be Twitter? Your true ex, you, is that, you just seem like a really, really, you've got the Twitter.
I love Twitter, but it's not my favorite because it's really not my favorite. I really love so many of these platforms. I just talk a lot about Twitter right now because I just launched a new course about Twitter. And I sort of think of it as a utility that's really important for everybody to sort of master. I mean, I think that almost everyone, I just can't think of anyone who can't benefit from Twitter, but Twitter is so like unattractive and it's so frustrating and it just makes no sense at first glance. You know, it's not love at first sight like ever with Twitter. And it was the last platform, the last major platform I ever, you know, that I really became proficient in because of that. I just didn't understand why would you limit yourself to 140 characters when you can go to Facebook and type a book, you know, and add a million pictures and video. Like, I don't really understand. And the other thing is like, how does anybody see anything that anybody else says on Twitter? Because it runs like a ticker tape. Then once I learned some key fundamental things about Twitter, then I was like, wow, like this is incredibly powerful. And basically just to sum it up is that Twitter is incredibly powerful because it is the most open platform on planet Earth, and you can communicate with anyone who has a Twitter handle, and the relationship does not have to be reciprocal, unlike every other channel out there. So this is incredibly powerful, and people read their tweets. So they might not open up an email, but they do read their tweets. They might not reply to your tweet, but they do read your tweets, and it's like the freshest news on planet Earth because of this. So if you group people or accounts into lists, like if I just group people into who are from my town of Cleveland, whether it's reporters, fire department, museums, restaurants, into a list called Cleveland, if I want to check in with what's happening in Cleveland, like right this very second, I just click on the list Cleveland and I have an immediate wire into what's happening right now, what people are thinking. I mean, Bloomberg about 6 months ago, and this wasn't huge headlines, but I thought it was very telling. Maybe it was longer than 6 months ago, but they incorporated Twitter into this prognostication tool that they developed because they understood that Twitter determined what would happen in world markets and predicted as well. So it was like, you know, it's really powerful. So that's what I would say is that it's vital. It's powerful. It's important. It's not necessarily my favorite.
Interesting. Because but I love you really to teach it. Yeah. You give some, if you want to learn Twitter, you take a look at Jen's work. And I love the name of the course. Tell them the name of the course.
Oh, Bird Nerds.
I love that. I absolutely love it. I love that course. So when we talk about, if we roll in, you know, I'm a communications, voice and communication expert from the perspective of speaking, which is a little different. But when we talk about communicating across these different platforms, do people need to communicate differently in Twitter versus LinkedIn versus Facebook versus, you know, how different do we have to be to get our message, you know, are different people looking at different channels, expecting different words or pictures?
They are expecting, they're not necessarily expecting, sort of, yes. There's structure and there's content differences. You know, your voice, your unique personal voice, I would say, you know, we need to stay true to that or it just falls flat, because then you lose that unique thing about yourself. So if you're a person that is sort of casual in their tone, the way that I am, I need to stay that way. Otherwise, I'm going to be, you know, it will appear that I'm trying to be someone else and it wouldn't be my voice. But like Periscope, I think of as a very short form content kind of a thing, right? So if I get on Periscope, and I think if anyone gets on Periscope, which is an amazing platform, but I think it should, you know, wrap it up in about 15 minutes. I mean, they're just not meant to, in my opinion, go on forever. Because then you end up sort of like losing it. And it's just you, right? It's like, unlike Blab, we could talk, you know, Blabs go on forever because it's conversation. And just like a real, you know, a party in real life, we could talk at great length. So they're different in that way. And then I would say, you know, like right now what's happening in LinkedIn is they've changed a lot. Anybody who has their mobile app has noticed that they're starting to look more like Facebook. They're really starting to look like Facebook in lots of ways. And it's causing a lot of people to be very unhappy because people are sharing things on LinkedIn that don't feel like LinkedIn, you know, the BuzzFeed stuff, the political stuff, you know, all that sort of shock value stuff that people can get away with on Facebook, it is really frowned upon on LinkedIn. So in that sense, you know, it should be different. And I do think of LinkedIn is definitely more than just a place to park your resume, and people should definitely be using it to put multimedia on there and to really differentiate yourself and to make your summary, you know, it can be funny, it can be interesting, can have links to other things that are cool, but there is an expectation on LinkedIn that, you know, we're a little more buttoned up over there.
Do you think I've noticed those changes, and I've noticed negative and positive comments about them over there. Do you think after the growing pains are over, that's going to make LinkedIn better?
You know what? I am a proponent of change. I love change. And most of the time, I think that, short answer, yes. I think after the growing pains, they'll figure it out. I mean, the changes that make me mad or annoy me, or I have to relearn, just always end up somehow, it ends up being better because technology just gets better, you know?
Yeah.
I think they'll figure it out.
I think it was time too.
Yeah, I agree. They were, you know, they've never had a pretty interface. They always sort of feel like last year. I don't know. They certainly don't feel like they've never, but then this is a company with like a huge, they're very deep pockets. I mean, they just bought Lynda for $1 billion. I mean, a billion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you know, that's not a small thing. So they'll get it together.
So let's talk about video for a minute. Now I see you've mentioned Periscope. I see you doing live Facebook Live. We've got Blab, and then we've still got YouTube, which, you know, is still pretty strong from what I can tell. Mm-hmm. What is your impression of these platforms? And do you have the same feeling I have about you got to get on video?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Video is probably, you know, whether we're talking about recorded or live streaming, I mean, it's just the best way to connect with people, in my opinion. And what I think is great is like, we've got this new platform now called Anchor, which is all about voice. So the people who have been hiding behind their computers and just really don't feel comfortable on video can maybe dip their toe in the water now with Anchor and start with their voice. 'Cause I really do think that's typically the reason people aren't, it's not the technical stuff. It's just, it's very uncomfortable to be on camera, to see yourself for the first time on video. It's in live streaming. I mean, none of us really, I don't think, like the way we look, on video, but yeah, I just think if you could get on a Periscope and you, are a chef or a maker or, really anybody who could demonstrate anything, when you could show what you know, I mean, you could blog all day long until you're blue in the face, and there's a lot of power in the written word. But when you can just show it and you can say it, people feel a connection with you. And it's really amazing. Yeah. And there's other, you know, and there's so many other cool tools as well. Like, I use Go Animate, which is a animation creation software. It's very user-friendly. It's very inexpensive. And I create little cartoons. I've just discovered Adobe Voice. It's a free app on your iPad, that allows you to create these cool little, videos in minutes, just minutes, with text and pictures, and your voice. You can narrate with your voice. So yeah, I think it's incredible. We are in agreement there for sure.
Yeah. You know, I've been saying it for years. I read an article several years ago that said something, I don't remember the exact statistic, but it was something to the effect of, in 5 to 10 years, 87% of all purchases will be made through video.
Wow.
Yeah, it was something, yeah. And I started jumping up and down. And of course, I was a television actress, you know, in my 20s. So for me, getting on, I'm more comfortable on camera than in real life, you know, but people do. It's what do I look like? What do I sound like? You know, how's my hair? And then that awkwardness of, okay, I'm talking to but especially video, I'm talking to a circle.
Right.
Who am I talking to? You know?
Yeah.
And so we end up sounding and looking like, you know, so crazy. And so, of course, we feel crazy. I had Billy Bob Brigman on the show a few weeks back, and he gave some great tips. You know, he was just like, you're going to hate the first 20. The first 20 you're going to hate, but just do it anyway.
Or 40. Yeah. Or all of them.
Oh, my gosh. And I love what you said about for the people with a craft. I don't know if you're familiar with Chocolate Johnny.
Oh, my gosh. I adore Johnny. Yeah.
Adore him. And he just catapulted his business beyond measure with Periscope, taking us into the chocolate shop. Who doesn't love chocolate? You know, I mean, yeah, I'll watch that for sure.
It's so smart. Yeah, it's so smart. And I have a client who's a clinical nutritionist, and she was doing the coolest things, like, her business just took off in a month. She went from 0 to 600 followers. I mean, it was amazing because she got on there and she showed people how to make like kraut, like homemade kraut and kombucha and all this kind of stuff. And she's so brilliant that would ask questions, you know, on Scope, and she could answer them, and people just wanted more and more and more. And it's an amazing, it really is an amazing thing. And in fact, I mean, it's free. It's in your pocket. We have high def, you know, HD quality phone cameras in our phones. And because it sits on top of Twitter, you know, and you use the right hashtags, even if you don't have a large following, you can reach people far outside your existing following for free. You just, you know, the big thing I think with Periscope is consistency, kind of like with everything.
Well, and that was going to be my next question, is what do you think is the best strategy for Periscope? I mean, you've already mentioned the 15 minutes, which I think is great, but just that, do you think it's good to have we know you're coming on at 10 a.m. Eastern time every day. Do you think you have to be that nailed down on Periscope for your followers?
I think it definitely helps. And I think if you can even manage to do it twice a day, it helps. But yeah, people start to expect to see you. They look forward to seeing you at that same time of day. And so you'll just grow your following, you know, that much more quickly. But I would say if you're not a person that does well with that sort of set schedule, then don't, like, be spontaneous. There's lots of spontaneous scopers that do very well. Also, I have a live streaming course called the Live Streaming Accelerator that covers Periscope and Blab. But, you know, setting yourself up for success with really any of this, you know, whether you're going to be recording videos or blabbing or whatever, is really the first step, right? I mean, there's just a few tools you need that are going to enhance the experience for your viewers and for yourself. You know, a good tripod, and I usually have it next to me, but the little Rode microphone that plugs right into your phone, like a good microphone. It's, you know, one light. You don't have to have the whole cowboy light system, but, you know, some good lighting and, you know, making sure that you have a beginning, middle, and end planned for your scope or your blab for that matter. But, you know, I always, if I'm going on to a blab, I'm typically going on to say, okay, here's three things you need to know today about Twitter. I'm going to show you three cool, you know, Twitter tips. Then I'll have a little, you know, sticky note that they can't see, but it's like, you know, in front of me that will remind me to hit these points and then remember to give a call to action at the beginning, the middle of the end, introduce yourself, you know, have an actual visual of where they can find you, wherever you want to send them, and then do it again at the end as you close. And that's about it. I mean, there's not a whole lot more to say.
Yeah.
Oh, and your title should be provocative, interesting, and should include searchable hashtags, not cute hashtags. Like that's the hashtag. That's the thing to keep in mind with hashtags in general. They're, you know, it's fun to use them for emphasis and to be cute, but the truth of the matter is hashtags are a tool. And you want to think very, you want to be very literal with your hashtag. So if your scope is about chocolate, then it should be hashtag chocolate, not hashtag, you know, live and die for chocolate, just right. Chocolate, you know?
Right. I love that. Some of these hashtags you see, I'm not doing it today, you know, or whatever it is. It just right. Cracked me up, you know, who's searching that?
Right.
So are you doing, now I know you're doing Facebook Live because I've seen you on there. So do you still Periscope and Blab as well? Do you do all of them?
Yeah, I do them all. I haven't been on Blab in a while, and I've actually really have given myself a I don't know, like a live streaming diet or plan. I mean, it used to be that I would hop on and watch and broadcast spontaneously. But the problem is that, you know, that can eat up a lot of time. But when my Facebook page got verified, my business page, and I was given Facebook mentions, I was so excited. So that's usually what I use. I rarely use Facebook Live. And the difference for your audience is basically Facebook mentions is from a business account, a business page. Facebook Live is what Facebook is rolling out. Everybody's going to have it soon. And I think everybody will have mentions at some point too. But Facebook Live is on our personal accounts. So I just usually use Facebook mentions. But yeah, I do them all and I love them all. And a lot of times I'll do a Periscope and I'll jump on mentions, Facebook mentions, and do the exact same topic.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize they were two different things. I thought it was just Facebook Live. I didn't know there were two different ones.
Yeah, Facebook mentions was the first one they rolled out, and they only gave it to a handful of people. Mm-hmm. And then they started rolling it out more, but they said that if you had to be a public figure, like your page had to be categorized as a public figure page, and you had to be verified with that little blue check mark. And now I believe they're doing it for verified Facebook business pages as well. Like they're just, the category is business page. But there's not a ton of those. But in time, it's everybody's going to have it, you know, I'm sure.
Yeah. You know, I asked a question in the group the other day, and again, make sure you check out the group Jen has on Facebook. It's really awesome. You know, I asked a question about it and people from all different parts of the world were chiming in saying, oh, I have it. Oh, I want it. You know, so there just doesn't quite seem to be a rhyme or reason to it really. And that's even what I believe you said. There's not really a methodology to any order of who's getting it is what it sounds like.
Yeah. I was saying Facebook is like Willy Wonka. Like,
yeah, that's right.
Very fickle, you know, like might do nice things for you, surprise you, but like you just never know what kind of mood Facebook is in and what they're, you know, it's so it's frustrating for people because, you know, first we thought everybody in Canada finally have it, but then someone in the group said, no, we don't, you know, I'm in Canada and I don't have it. So who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nutty. But, you know, I would say there was some conversation about, you know, is this going to obliterate Periscope? And the reason I think that it will not is because of Twitter. So again, with Facebook, people can watch you on Facebook, but there's some sort of, you have to be tethered in some way for that to happen. Like you either have to like that person's page, subscribe to them, or you need to be their friend to watch what they're saying. On Periscope, it's totally open. We can click on that little world map and we can watch people from the living rooms of, you know, Uzbekistan. And I actually did that the other day. That somebody was, you know, just messing around. Like it's amazing.
It's amazing. I heard something this morning where she was talking about how Facebook made a comment, and I, you know, this is all second. I didn't research this, but the woman was talking about how Facebook made a comment that their goal is to dominate over YouTube in the search engines. Now, what do you think about, do you think YouTube will ever lose steam, and can Facebook trump them?
So who said, someone said that Facebook was trying to dominate YouTube?
Yeah, because, you know, YouTube, I guess, is dominant in the Google search, I guess. Now, you're the expert, so is that right, that YouTube videos kind of dominate in the Google search engine? Is that correct?
I mean, yes. I mean, YouTube has the market on videos. I mean, they definitely own that market. And yes, Facebook wants that market. And that is why last year, Facebook really started to reward us if we uploaded our videos directly to Facebook, as opposed to putting a YouTube link. Furthermore, now you'll see a whole different experience when you start to watch videos on your phone and maybe on desktop too. Now, and the next thing that happens is just similar videos just start to roll up. They don't take you back to the main news feed.
Yeah.
You just start watching videos. And that's, of course, quite intentional. Listen, the really big story, in my opinion, with Facebook is that last year, or maybe a little longer, they purchased Oculus Rift. And Oculus Rift is the darling of virtual reality. And it's different than any virtual reality tool that we've ever known before, because it the experience that you get with it is it used to be virtual reality glasses. You would put them on and you could always see the edge. And you also, there was this thing, I think it's called lag. So you got like motion sickness because you would see like blur, like a blur or a trail. Well, I haven't worn Oculus Rift yet, but what's going to happen is that people were like, oh, did Facebook buy that because they want to put ads, you know, on virtual reality? And it's so much more than that. It is, it's going to be this, but we can touch each other, basically. I mean, there's sensory, you know, there's a sensory component, a third dimension that is going to be amazing. I can't even imagine what that will, I really can't even imagine what that will look like. But, and the other thing is Facebook is present on the Tor network, which is the dark underworld network, it's the only place you can be truly private. And that's a whole nother ball of wax. But the fact that they're there, and I'm sure Google is there, sort of laying a groundwork, is very telling to me, because that's a whole nother subject. And I'm not extremely fluent in the subject of the Tor network, but I do know that Facebook is there. And and so, yeah, they're just a behemoth. They're giant. So
yeah.
I don't know if they can squash YouTube, but if anybody could, I guess they would be the one.
Right. I just learned about the Tor network yesterday. I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's a great TED Talk about it.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, I don't remember the guy, but it was, he just talked about kind of the pros and cons of it. A lot of cons, you know, drugs and pornography and stuff. But it's private. So
yeah. So with this other thing you mentioned, Oculus Rift. What's it called again?
Brian asked about it's a Tor, TOR, and I can't remember what it stands for. And Oculus Rift is the virtual reality situation. And that's, you know, we're really close to seeing that come around.
Well, and that's, you know, I love that. I can't even wrap my mind around that either. It's like Blab with this, you know, remember Scratch and Sniff? You may not be old enough to remember, but we used to have cards.
Do you remember that?
Scratch and Sniff, and you'd get these cards and you'd scratch it and you'd smell whatever. So it'd be like Blab with Scratch and Sniff. I can't even imagine But that's, you know, I'm a voice expert. And one of the reasons I'm always harping on people's voices is the voice is the tool to touch the senses. The senses touch the emotions. So it's all ultimately linked to the emotions. That's, you know, and that's what I think you were basically saying earlier. One of the great things about all this visibility is we're ready for that. We've had enough of, okay, are you really saying this? Who's saying this? I don't know who's saying this. I need to see your face and hear your voice, or at least hear your voice.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the things that's so great about all of these visual platforms. Did you ever have public speaking issues or fears or anything like that?
The biggest lessons I had to learn was where to think before I spoke. Ever since I was a little kid, you know, the report card always says, you know, Jen needs to talk less and work more. You know, that filter, I'm a bit of a loud mouth and I'm chatty and outgoing. But with regard to formal public speaking, also just jump right in there. And I say too much, and I'm a hand talker. And I was unbelievably asked to be the introducer for President Obama in front of 2,000 people. And I had to give a 3-minute speech. And when the guy asked me, my heart was like in my throat, like I thought I was going to throw up. And I said, yes, I will do it. I just said, you know, yes, I will do it. And for 3 days, like I had 3 days to prepare. I literally could not sleep. I could not eat. I could barely shower. Like I just couldn't focus on anything because I was so nervous. But I didn't know it was going to be that town hall style. And so I had notes on a note card. And I thought I was going to be behind like a podium and, but it was 360 degrees. And, really it was scarier than if I were to, were going to be jumping out of a plane. I mean, that's what I felt like, and I'm very scared of heights. So I was just terrified and my hand was shaking, because when you hold notes, it's like the worst thing if you're nervous because you can see people shaking, you know, but I saw some familiar faces in the front. And I kind of sucked. I mean, nobody would tell me that. And I've never watched the recording because I know I would just die. You know, like I know I would die. But I was proud of myself because I said yes. I was mad at myself that I didn't. I don't know. Maybe I could have prepared more so that I didn't need notes. But to answer your question, like, yes. And now I'm much more comfortable speaking. And my motto is like prepare, prepare, prepare. As long as you're prepared, you know, it's okay to be nervous because I think that fuels you, right? I mean, you would know better than I. And then my other challenge was, which I didn't know was a challenge, was as I started doing tutorials and my first courses is, and I didn't realize this until I was listening to one of Shalene Johnson's podcasts, and she had her voice coach on there. And they were talking about like, I guess melody.
Yes.
Right.
And the trust is built.
And I thought, well, I've got the flattest boring voice I've ever heard. I was like, God, I can't believe I've been so flat all this time. And I never knew it. And then I started thinking about the podcasters who I love and the queen of them all. Anybody who follows me knows that I worship Amy Porterfield and her voice is so melodic, and she goes very up and down, and it's very not boring at all. It's just so pleasant. Now, I can work all day long on my voice. I'm never going to sound as good as Amy Porterfield, but I just went up like that right now, and instead of just staying like right here, and I have to be mindful of that. So whenever I'm recording my courses, I try to vary, you know, the pitch or tone or whatever you call it of my voice. So that was like a big aha moment for me because I think I'm pretty, you know, I think I could drone.
No, I think you sound great, but I hear what you're saying. And melody is where the trust is built. It's the highs and lows. And I think what happens is to all of us is, or at least what I certainly see in my work, is we get in a pattern. And really and truly, voice is oftentimes the last thing people are thinking about.
Right. Think about it.
No, I mean, it makes marketing my work so challenging because people are thinking about content. They're thinking about this. They're thinking about that. It's, you know, it's the furthest thing from the mind, but it's, you know, I believe it's one of the most powerful tools, if not the most powerful tool we have. Of course, that's, you know, that's just my perspective, but yeah, that's melody. That's that up and down and high and low. And that's where the research shows the trust is built. So it's really, really cool. Well, if you had one tip from, I mean, you have such a vast knowledge. It's not even fair for me to say, give us one tip. What would be our send-off tip for the listeners? One thing that if they're struggling, let me make it more streamlined. If they're struggling, if they don't know where to start, what to do, if they're feeling overwhelmed, really anything, what is the one tip, the golden nugget?
If they're feeling overwhelmed with social media,
mm-hmm.
or just marketing?
Marketing in general.
If you are feeling overwhelmed, find one or two people to follow and just stick with those people who know what they're doing and stick with those people. Don't find 10 or 20 people to follow and then start listening to their podcasts, read their blogs, subscribe to their email list. These people, you know, some of these gurus are not going to speak to you. They're going to, in fact, they might be off-putting to you, but there's somebody out there who is going to resonate with you. And for me, that person was Amy Porterfield. So, mm-hmm. So that really helped, because if somebody gives you like very specific actionable tasks to do, you are going to see success. And when you see success, you're going to have more success. Your confidence is going to build. So I would subscribe to Amy Porterfield's podcast or someone like that who can guide you and put your blinders on and just keep your head down and focus on being really great at one or two platforms. And join my Facebook group, because it's a great community of people. There's a million Facebook groups out there, but I do think mine is unique because of the crowd that's there. I never have to tell people in that group. I mean, very rarely does anyone go in there and just promote or, you know, it doesn't get cheesy in there. It's just some really good, helpful advice. So that'd be a great place to start as well.
That's a great tip. And that streamlines back to what we were talking about with, you know, don't jump ship and always be doing what the other guy's doing because you think that's what you should be doing. And I can validate what Jen's saying about her Facebook group. I'm in a number of Facebook groups and, you know, I, there's a lot of them I like, there's a lot of them, you know, that are, I don't like as much, but that's the one thing about Jen's group that is so great is the interaction. It's not just constant, try my work, buy my work, do my thing. You know, it's valid questions, valid answers. Jen is very active in it. I mean, you're not going to post a question and then 3 weeks later you're wondering, well, I don't know. You know, I mean, 3 hours at the most. You know, she's very active and it's just a lovely group of people. And it's packed with, I mean, you should be charging for this. It's just literally packed with golden nugget after golden nugget after golden nugget. And you've got some courses. Tell us where to find all of your stuff. I know we've talked about the Nerd Birds and you've got a live stream course. Tell us where to find you, what you offer. I want people to look you up.
Thank you. Well, the easiest place to probably find everything is just to go to jenlehner.com, and that's LEHNER. JenLehner.com. Bird Nerds is BIRD nerds.info. And then coming up, I'm really excited about it. It's the second launch of Social Media Summer Camp with Jen. And you can go to Camp with Jen for more info. Campwithjen.com. And that's a one-stop shop, comprehensive social media course. We cover all the main channels. And it's a year long program. I mean, you have access for a year. And it's really all you need with regard to social media.
I forgot about that program. You just launched that last year, right?
I did. It was my first course launch and it was last, summer. So late spring, early summer. It almost killed me.
Yeah, it looks really good. When's the launch date for this year? Do you have it?
I don't have the actual date, but it will be like spring coming up. Like in about, I've got to nail down a couple of details, and so just look for it. If you're on my list, if you go to jenlaner.com and get on my list, you will certainly be notified about camp.
And it looks like a great program. I'm going to do it this year. So you guys, look her up. I'm telling you what, Jen, this has just been such an honor and a treat for me, and I know for the listeners. I can't thank you enough for your valuable time and being here and all this wonderful information that you shared with us. You guys go and check out Jen and her work. You will not be disappointed. And as always, you can find me on CaptivateTheRoom.com. Thank you again for being here, for being a part of the audience, for your shares and your downloads. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Okay, it was great being here.
Yeah, no, that's,
Did you stop recording?
No, I don't. I have no capacity to stop recording.
Because the blab is going to be your recording for your podcast? Or yeah. The blab is your, okay. All right, so should I pause the recording to answer a couple of the questions that
Sure, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to pause. Okay, so we are recording again. So Julio asked, how do you explain the need for social media marketing to businesses that don't do any social media and don't see a need for it? And I have decided that personally, I don't want to convince people anymore. I think everybody is going to realize whether they're B2B, which by the way will be my next course, is going to be all about B2B marketing, because it's very hard to for people who are in the B2B, meaning business to business industry, or if their business is in that sector, to see how social media can benefit them, because they're convinced that their client is not on social media. But here's the thing. When you have over 1 billion people on Facebook, your person is on social media. It's just that they might be wearing their pajamas. So, you know, the guy who is the CEO of that manufacturing plant, he might not be cruising Facebook while he's at work, but he's going to be flipping through it when he's at home on the couch or whatever. And he is very targetable. You can target him even when he's on the couch. So, and that's just one small example. So I think people will eventually understand that it's not going to be social media anymore. It's just media. It's not going to be social media marketing anymore. It's all just marketing. So it's going to be ubiquitous. People will know that they need to be there. But I'll just tell you that there's a gentleman who, when I first started my consulting business in marketing, he was in that space medical devices. That was his industry. And I met with him 3, 4, maybe even 5 times, just knew I could. And I'd never had a client who I hadn't gotten. Like, I never had to really sell myself. And it wasn't that I was trying to get this client. It was that I wanted him to see like how amazing this could be for his business.
Yeah.
Could not. He just kept saying, show me the ROI, show me the ROI. And I know a lot more now than I did then. And I think now, you know, I could totally show him. And guess who came knocking on my LinkedIn door the other day? Like,
no,
I got
way.
A little message from him, and he's like, would love to meet with you for coffee to talk again about how social media might be able to help my business. And he said, I need to see the ROI. I need to see, I still don't have proof. I'm like, it's 2 years have gone by. You mean to tell me that you still don't understand that this could benefit your business? And instead of saying, okay, now I'm going to show him, I just said, you know what? I can't talk to you anymore. Like and I've never not helped someone. I would help him for free. It's not even that. It's just, he just refused to see the benefit. And so that's when I decided with him actually, and recently, that I'm not going to try to convince people anymore. Mm-hmm. Eventually they'll come around to it. So that's my really long-winded answer. To how do you explain the need for social marketing? Because if you have something that someone needs to know about, the way to tell them is on social. I don't know what else to say.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, there is no doubt. And it just has to be. It's kind of like video now, in my opinion. It just has to be. And I think the key piece, and we talked about it earlier, is if you could get someone, if you can't wrap your mind around it, but you can get help with someone helping you create a strategy. Maybe it's the inability to see the strategy to understand, you know, how in the world this could help the business. It just might just look like people's dinner, you know, pictures of people. How's that going to help my business? You know, not right. seeing the full
That's
strategy.
A good point. I mean, that is a good point. And I should, you know, and I should say, like, I wouldn't just dismiss a person who, you know, had that question. It's just because that is true. Like, people don't, they think of cats on vacuum cleaners a lot of times still, you know, when they think of social media, they don't really understand, you know, what value there is in that. And I don't either really, but so certainly, you know, I would take time to sort of explain what social media can do. And I love doing, like, there's certain little demos I love to do to illustrate the power of social media for people to say, hey, watch this. And they're like, wow, you know, that's just fun for me. But if someone is just going to, you know, constantly like, it's not for me, it doesn't work, it's a waste of time. Like, I don't have time to convince those people, you know?
Well, it's so true. And my business is the same way. You know, I'll get a company that'll say, well, I need the ROI. And I'm like, okay, I'm a voice expert. I'm not following around tracking dollar signs after people have had my training. I mean, I can give it to you in a global sense and I can demonstrate it to you all day long, but for many people, that's just like, why would I do that? Why, you know, show the numbers. I don't get it.
Right.
So I know you're complaining after meeting with me 5 times. No, I think you're pretty good on that.
I mean, well this now I can do it. You know, but then I you know, now I definitely can show, like, you know, clients and, you know, actual campaigns, for example, but
sure.
But, yeah, the B2B is definitely, in need of converting.
I'm excited about that. I'm really excited about that. I would definitely be interested in that course. I think you're right. Just from what I know, you know, I think that's so great. You in the works on that right now?
Well, I haven't started creating the content yet. I'm still, you know, doing some stuff with Bird Nerds and social media summer camp. But as soon as camp gets launched, I'll start creating the content. And I've got to get an inspiration for the name. It can't be like social media for B2B. Although that's kind of, I'm like, I do like the literal. Then people don't have to figure it out. But I don't know. That's kind of dry.
Yeah, well, it'll come to you. Anybody that can come up with Bird Nerds can come up with a good title, because that's just adorable. It's so catchy. I so love it.
Thank you.
Well, this was just great. It was so great to have you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. This was really, really wonderful. I love talking with you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was great. And again, I'm just honored. And you guys have had some great, great nuggets today from Jen. Please go and check out her work. Check out her Facebook group. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. And of course, you can find her at, tell us one more time.
JenLaner.com.
Okay. And we'll have all her information in the show notes as well. But check her out, and you can always find me at CaptivateTheRoom.com. And thank you again for your downloads and your shares and for being a part of the audience. And we'll see you next time.